Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Next Sunday, we're going to have a baptism. And Brother Anthony wants to be baptized. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for, Lord, this opportunity to come and to assemble in your house, dear God, and Lord, to come to worship, Lord, in spirit and in truth, Lord. Lord, as many times people are worried about worshiping in truth, we forget about worshiping in the spirit. And we feel the spirit of the Lord here this morning. I ask, God, that you'll come now, Lord, in the power of your word, Lord, and speak to us this morning. We ask it for your glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I'd like to read from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. 6. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. You may be seated. In the message of oneness, Brother Ram is saying the churches, through man-made dogma and man-made creeds, is presenting a great front to the people, and they're falling for it, which is death. What he's talking about is their dogmas and their creeds, and he's talking about the denominations, the organizations. And you know, the thing about organizations, they were formed by man. And the prophet tells us they were inspired by Satan. It wasn't inspired by God. And therefore, they're not based on the word. When you look at it, they're not based on the word. You know what they're based on? The Catholic Church. They're daughters of the great whore. That's what they're based on. They would argue that with you and say no, but it's true. The first organized religion was the Catholic Church. And because it's man-made, they change with the times. God's word doesn't. God's word's eternal. I was just reading yesterday, I just wanted to look up a few things, and I was looking up the word abomination in the Bible, and it still says that for man to lie with mankind like he would lie with womankind is an abomination to God. Still says that there. It ain't changed. You know, but this world has changed. And then again, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. All it is that old spirit of Sodom coming more alive in this world today. But the organizations, they change with times. So they might have started out with holiness. They might have started out dressing holy. But as time progressed, they decided, well, you know, it's okay for women to cut their hair. It's okay to wear pants. It's okay to wear makeup. It's okay to do these different things, you know. And just don't wear your pants to church, but you can wear them everywhere else. Well, that was years ago. Today they wear them to church. The organizations have changed as time has progressed. Just like, and you know what it is? There's younger generations coming in charge of these organizations. And these younger generations have another idea of what holiness really means. And they're offering this front to the people, and the prophet said, that's death. He said, no church will clean your soul, no creed will clean your soul. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse your soul. That's God's remedy, and it's backed up. So what they've got's just false. But people lean upon the understanding of the wise, and they die by it. And people today are leaning on the understanding of the creeds and denominations, and millions, like slaughtered pigs, are plunging their way into the bottomless pit of hell. What a shame. We're forbidden to lean on our own understanding. Now, we're all familiar with the story of what happened in the garden to mankind. But what God gave them at the beginning, what he gave Adam and Eve, he gave them his word. And that was what they were to live by. That's what they were to live their lives by. That's what they were supposed to, that was supposed to be their absolute. But Satan was smarter than Eve. It's true. Satan was smarter than mankind. Jesus said the children of this world are much smarter than the children of the kingdom of God. That's what he said. And so Satan came to her and, well, we're just like sheep. That's what the Bible likens us to, like sheep. And being sheep, sheep can't lead themselves. They need a shepherd to lead them. Thank God we've got a shepherd, Jesus Christ. He said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow. Amen. Kind of a good identification, isn't it? If they're following something that isn't the voice of God, then they're not his sheep. But, you know, God doesn't want us to be smart with men's wisdom. God wants us to lean to his understanding, not to our own. Lean to his, no matter how much it might not make sense to us. And there's times it doesn't, because the Bible said that my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. His thoughts and his ways are much higher than ours. So sometimes it don't make sense to us. When we're going through a trial, what would make sense to us if God would just snap his finger and we'd be done with it? Well, I'll just ask God and he won't make me go through this. God's allowing you to go through it because it's character building. It's molding your character. It's making you into what you ought to be. Look at the sufferings that Christ had to go through. We think we're better than Christ. The Bible said that he learned by the things he suffered. We learn by the things we go through. But, so, in the beginning, why God gave him his word, but Satan come down through the serpent and begin to reason with Eve. He began to reason with her. And she turned to the reason of something that reasons her away from the word of God. It made sense to her. It didn't matter how much sense it made, it was wrong because it was against the word. Moses, the Bible tells us that he was trained in all the ways of Egypt. Moses became a great warrior, a great general in the Egyptian army. We learn that Moses conquered all the countries around Egypt. So it looked like that the way for him to free the children of Israel would be for him to use military might and overthrow Egypt. Friends, he was the next in line to be Pharaoh. God led him to get raised up so high. But then when he took his own talents and turned them toward the work of the Lord, God let him fall flat on his face. He ended up with one dead Egyptian. God took him out in the desert and beat all that out of him. Now, we hear the prophet say that, but you realize he spent 40 years out in the desert after he left Egypt. 40 years in the hot sun. 40 years out in the desert. 40 years where the wind would whip around the sand that was like dust. Years out there trying to take sheep around to different places where it could find something to graze on. 40 years out there learning how to be a shepherd. 'Til all the wisdom of Egypt was left behind. And then God met him in a very humble way after he got him real humbled down, and he gave him a stick. Said, now go back and overtake Egypt. He didn't have a sword and a shield any longer. Now he had a stick. He didn't have a spear. He had a stick. But the thing was, God was in the stick. Because God was in Moses. And as long as Moses had the stick in his hand, God had the stick in his hand. Didn't make any sense to man. But that was God's understanding. You remember when the Ark of the Covenant was with the Philistines? And you know, the Ark of the Covenant was supposed to be in Israel. And King David got to thinking about this and said, we need to go up there and get that ark. And we need to bring the ark back down to Israel. It belongs to us. It belongs in Israel. Doesn't that make sense? And so David gathered together 30,000 of his best men and said, doesn't this make sense to y'all that we go up there and get that? It belongs to us. It should be in Israel. God gave that to us. We made that according to the instructions that God gave Moses. Yeah, it makes sense. Let's go get it. So they went up there to get it. And they thought, well, we'll put it on a new cart. Not some old cart that's been used for all kinds of different things, but we'll dedicate one. We'll have a dedicated cart. And we'll put it on there and we'll bring it back to Israel. Now, it made a lot of sense, but they were leaning to their own understanding. They weren't leaning to the Word of God. Because the Word of God said the ark had to be carried on the shoulders of the Levites, not on a new cart. It didn't matter how much the ark belonged in Israel, they didn't go about getting it right. And it caused the death of Uzziah. He reached out his hand to steady it when the oxen kind of stumbled a bit. And when he touched it, he wasn't meant to touch it. When he touched it, God killed him. And you know, the Bible said that displeased David. David got upset because the Lord killed this man. Weren't we trying to bring the ark back to Israel where it belonged? But then the next verse says David got afraid of God that day. And they said, we're just going to leave it right here. We're going to leave it right here in the house of Obed-Edom. And they left it there in that house, and God blessed that house. And David, word got to David how that God was blessing that house. And he said, we have got to get that back down here to Israel. But this time he went according to the word. And they went up there with the Levites and got it on the shoulders of the priests to bring it back down. And they brought it back down. And when they done it according to the word, they had a hallelujah service. David got beside himself and started dancing. And Michelle saw it up in her window. Her husband down there dancing, she said, how disgraceful for the king to be doing that. David said, you think that's something, watch this. David just danced all the more. Why? Because it was being brought according to the word of the Lord. But when they lean to man's understanding, it cost them a life. It brought death. Didn't matter how much sense it made. It wasn't according to the word. Brother Branham said a vision. We say a vision is the word of the Lord. He said, but a vision is secondary. And a vision must line up with the word of God. He said, if the vision don't line up with the word of God, then the vision's wrong. We say, well, oh my, this person, they can see visions. But if their visions don't line up with the word, it's wrong. Oh, this person dreams dreams. If the dreams don't line up with the word of God, then the dreams are wrong. They're just a bad meatball sandwich. Hallelujah. It's got to line up with the word of God. Remember when Ahab was going, wanted to go up to Ramah. You know, Israel had been in war with Syria for 3 long years. And Ahab wanted to go up to Ramoth Gilead and actually just once and for all defeat the Syrians. And he called for the king of Judah to come, Jehoshaphat. And he said, well, will you go up to Ramoth Gilead with me and together we'll defeat the Syrians and we'll end this war once and for all. Jehoshaphat said, yeah, I'll go, but can't we inquire of the Lord? Ahab said, you know what? I think maybe that's a good idea. So we'll get my prophets down here. I got 400 of them. And we'll get them down here and get them to tell us what to do. And so Zedekiah came down there and he made him horns of iron. And he, you talking about being dramatic. He got dramatic with his sermon. He took those horns of iron, he pushed them this way and said, you're going to push the Syrians out this way. And you're going to push the Syrians out that way. And he just preached a great message, great moving sermon. Go on up. And the other prophets, the Bible says they prophesied. Said, go on up. God's going to give it to you because Ramoth Gilead belongs to us. That was true. It did belong to Israel. It was given to Israel. In the time of Joshua, it was named by Jacob. It belonged to them. It was theirs. Said, because it's ours, let's go up there and let's go get it. Well, that made a lot of sense, didn't it? Belonged to them. Shouldn't they be able to go get it? But Joshua said, I know you've had 400 men come out here and talk, but ain't you just got one more, 401? Something, Jehoshaphat couldn't maybe put his finger on it, but something didn't seem right. He said, yeah, I've got one. His name is Micaiah. But he don't ever prophesy anything good about me. Jehoshaphat said, well, let's get him down here and hear what he's got to say. Now, Micaiah came down there and he told him, if you go up there and come back at all, God never spoke by me. You're going to die up there, Ahab. Now, see, Micaiah was echoing the words of Elijah. Because Elijah had spoke and said that Ahab was going to die up there and that the dogs would lick Jezebel's blood. So Micaiah's vision was according to the word. And no matter how much Ramoth-Gilead belonged to them and how logical it would seem they should be able to go take it, they had the forces, they had the army, but it wasn't according to the word. They were leaning, and Ahab leaned to the understanding that his prophets told him, and they were leaning to their own understanding. I don't care how good a preacher can preach, if it don't line up with the word, it's wrong.
That's right.
I don't care how emotional he can get. I don't care how anointed he may seem. If it doesn't line up with the word, it's wrong. I've been in meetings that were, boy, there was some kind of anointing there. They talked about Brother Branham coming back, you know, again. Riding this trail again, I'll tell you what, there was some kind of anointing there, but I'll tell you what, whatever that anointing was, it creeped me out. You talking about making shivers run over you. That was a scary place. Sometimes some people come and say, well, God told me this, and God told me that. Well, I'm going to tell you something, friends. If it don't line up with the word, it wasn't God telling them. There's a lot of people go around saying, well, God told me to do such and such. God told me to send my tithing over to this other place. I'm going to tell you something. If it ain't according to the word, it wasn't God talking to you. Because if the Holy Spirit talks to you, it's going to point you to the word. Because you see, the word is like the North Star, and the Holy Ghost is like a compass. It's always going to point to the word. How can they say that what they're doing and then it not line up with the word and then say they got the Holy Ghost? No, they don't have the Holy Ghost. No, sir. Brother Branham said, they might have a ghost, but it ain't the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, when a person says they got the Holy Ghost and accepts something contrary to the word, it shows they ain't got the genuine Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost always points to Christ. The Holy Spirit is the author and writer and the quickener of the word. How can it point the person to anything else but the word? Amen. We see this, he says this in lean not to your own understanding. He said, we see this plainly in the Bible. Lean not to your own understanding. If you lean to your own understanding, then you're bound to get off the right road. You can't lean to anyone else's understanding when it comes to life. To find life, you got to lean to the Word. That's life. Hallelujah. How many people you've ever had come around you and tell you, well, you know, the Lord told me, you know, that I was to leave this church and I'm going to go over to another church. The Lord told me. I've had people come from other churches to come here and say it was the Lord told them to leave. And they wanted to tell me all kinds of bad things about the pastor where they were coming from, and I always told them, I don't want to hear it. And here's what I always thought, if they're going to talk bad about that place, what about when they leave this place? There are people, friends, who claim to be led by the Lord that go from church to church to church. They're just church hoppers. And then you've got lay people that decide, I can't go to church here anymore. I ain't going to go to church over there, so I'll just start my own church. God don't work that way. God doesn't work that way. Even this church here, I know I didn't come here until about, 24 years ago. But this church wasn't started by lay people. It was started by a minister. It was God that started it. If it hadn't been God, this thing would have fell flat. It looked like it was about done with, about out of breath, about out of life. But God said, I'm going to restore it. Hallelujah. I always believed that we was going to get more people in this church. I always did. I didn't realize how much my family was going to end up populating it, but but I always believed we was going to get more people. But it wasn't about how many people we got when I looked at the Lord restoring it. It was the Lord restoring the Word to the church, restoring the life of Christ. Something that when the Word was preached, it had an eternal effect on people. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter, Brother Ram said, it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what your emotions are or what the emotions of the country or the crowd around you is. It's got to line up with the Word. There was a young man and his family. They decided for some reason they was going to leave a particular church. And there was another church just a town over, but they didn't want to go over there either. So somebody had you know, got online and streamed a service from some church in another state. And so they decided, we're just going to stream their services. We're going to stream their services. You know what that's all about? Not being able to come under headship. You'll see, it don't matter how much they stream this other church of service, they ain't got no pastor. But that pastor of that church they were streaming told him, said, now look, this ain't right. You got a church over here you don't want to go to, and a church over here you can go to, and then you're just going to meet in your home? He said, that ain't right. Amen. So the young man said, all right, what I'll do is I'm going to remodel my basement, and I'm going to make my basement into a church. And we'll have a church in my basement. And we'll just stream the services of this other church. They ain't got no pastor. It's like a chicken with its head cut off. They're just running around with no leadership. It's like a bunch of sheep without a shepherd. God don't do it that way. That's not according to his word. Brother Bram says, and God keeping his word says, people say, well, if I go over to the Pentecostal church, will I be saved? If I do what the Pentecostals do? No, sir, you won't be saved. You're just an impersonator, a hypocrite by doing it. You get saved and do what God tells you to do, not trying to act like the rest of them. Do what God tells you to do, and your experience must line up with God's Bible. A lot of people talk about their experience, their God-given experience. But if it don't line up with the Bible, I've heard people talk about, and look, I'm not criticizing, but I've heard people talk about their experience of getting the Holy Ghost. And I'm not doubting that they might not have had a certain type of an experience that they're describing. But you cannot put that out that this is what's going to happen to everybody when they get the Holy Ghost. Because it's not scriptural. Well, I had a like warm water just flow down over me. You might have. But that doesn't mean the next person's got to have warm water flowing down over them to prove they got the Holy Ghost, because that's not according to the word. Listen to what Brother Branham says here. The only thing you have to do is come to Jesus Christ and accept him as a finished work. Now listen to this real carefully. And when your faith is recognized of him, he'll give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You don't have to have a sensation to say, well, that's why I know I got the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you how you know you got the Holy Ghost. It's always going to point you to the word. It's always going to point you to the word. Then you know you've got it. And nothing can shake it. Friends, look, if you're going on some sensation, then the next time you make a mistake or falter, Satan will come and make you doubt your experience. But if your experience with God is that God has changed something down on the inside of your soul, then Satan can't take that away from you. He can't shake that. That's your experience, is that your life lines up with the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What's going to happen in the white throne judgment when all these people that's been saying that God talked to them and they get before God and God says, it wasn't me. It wasn't me talking to you. There was a man that went from church to church to church, just bounced around everywhere. Couldn't stay anywhere. He always found something to disagree on with every church he went to in Tennessee. One elder pastor said, I don't know where he's going to go now. He's done this everywhere he's went. You know what he did? He went and started his own church. I don't know where he is today, but he's dead. Him and some other person started their own church some years ago. We've seen what become of that. It didn't last. People have a put on love. I can't stand that. I'd rather somebody be honest with me. If they didn't care for me, then don't even come talk to me. Rather than come over to me and put on some kind of a front, be something they're not, be full of guile. Full of false. Oh, I just love you, brother. You liar. If you love me, you'd treat me different. You'd speak of me differently. Friends, I'm the kind, if I think people don't have nothing for me, they don't like me, I kind of try to just leave them alone. I tried to just leave them alone. Well, I'm not going to force myself on them.
That's right.
What good would that do? I try to just mind my business and go on my way. I'll be friendly. But if they don't want nothing to do with me, why am I going to force myself on them? In the Bible, they had a breastplate that they'd made for Aaron, the high priest. And on that breastplate, there was 12 stones. It stood for each tribe of Israel. And that breastplate with those stones on it was called the Urim Thummim. And when somebody said they had a word of the Lord, they would bring them before the Urim Thummim. And they would speak what they said. They had the word from the Lord. And if a light didn't flash across those stones, they knew whatever that individual was saying wasn't of God. Don't believe them, that ain't of God. The Urim Thummim today is the Bible. It's the word of God. Somebody said, well, I got a word from the Lord. Well, it's got to flash across this Bible. If it don't flash across this Bible, then it's not a word from the Lord. They got a word from somewhere else. And there's only, friends, look, what it is, a lot of times people are leaning to their own understanding. Like belief, well, you know, if a preacher has got to drive a jalopy, if he don't drive a jalopy, there's something wrong with him. Yeah, that's one of my old words. Preacher ain't no different than you. Brother, y'all don't know him, but there's a brother from Michigan, Brother Bruce Jarkowski. I've known him for years. And he came down up in Kentucky and was preaching in a church up in Kentucky here about a month or so ago. And he contacted me and said, I'm down in your area. I like to come by and eat lunch with you. And so I told him where to come to and that. We was going to meet over at the Cracker Barrel and have lunch together, he and his wife, me and my wife. and we had known him for years and hadn't saw him in a long time. And so we met over there, and me and him sitting there just talking, you know. And when he came in, his hair was all mussed up. And he said what it was, him and his wife had drove down from Michigan in their convertible. And he had this, Mitsubishi Eclipse, I think it was. And it was a convertible. And it was a 1997, I believe. Now, one thing you got to know about Brother Bruce, one of the things he does for a hobby is he restores cars. And he'll get an old car, and he's got a building he works on them in, and that's a hobby he does. He's a motorhead. He knows all about that stuff. Now, I love sports cars, but don't ask me to work on them. I'm a driver. But he restores them, you know. And so we sat there, and he showed me pictures of this Eclipse that he's got. And then he showed me pictures of a old Corvette that he has. And I don't remember the year on it, but it was an older Corvette. And it was restored. It was in mint condition. And actually it was restored when he bought it. He bought it that way. He goes to car shows. And he came across this one time. They saw this Corvette, and he thought, "Oh, I probably never be able to get it." And so he goes and he goes to inquire about it, and he takes money out of savings and goes and buys this Corvette. And then he takes that Corvette, and he goes around to car shows, and he shows that Corvette, you know. And he looks around at other people's old cars, and they look at his, and, you know, and all this kind of stuff. I don't know a lot about a car show. But anyway, they travel around and do these things. And he's a preacher. Now, to most people's thinking, that don't make sense. Preacher shouldn't have a hobby like that. Shouldn't a preacher be a hunter? Not everybody's hunters. I tried my hand of it. All I ever got was cold. That's the only thing I ever caught. You know, I'm not against people hunting, but I'm not a hunter. I love to eat. I love eating good venison, but I ain't no good at going and getting it. Every year I pray for David to get two or three or something, you know, so I can have some. But what's wrong with Brother Bruce being a car guy? Not a thing in the world. But if you lean to man's understanding, that just wouldn't seem right. But I was talking to Brother Donnie some years ago. And I'm saying some years ago, it ain't like I stay in constant contact with him. But some years ago, Brother Donnie told me every, especially pastor, needs to have some kind of hobby. Something that he does that he can see a finished product out of his labor. Because pastoring a church for years, many times, it takes years to see any kind of finished product out of it. And we're not going to really see it until we get to the other side. You need to have some kind of way, he said, to unwind. You know. But see, a lot of those things, they don't fit men's understandings. I've got around people, and you know, they think that anytime they're around me, but they got to talk something about the Bible. If they're around me, they got to be talking something about something Brother Branham said. Well, I love talking about the Bible and things, but you don't got to do that just because you're around me. We can talk about other things. I'll be honest, I like to cut up. I like to laugh. And, you know, sometimes I'd have, in the past, I'd have somebody who was wanting to hang around with me, and I'd realize they couldn't handle it. Because they had me up on some high kind of holy pedestal. And friends, look, that ain't me. I try to live a holy life and be holy in that, but I'm not solemn and long-faced. See, those things, they don't make sense to people. Because they're leaning to their own understanding. There's people who take the church order and they lean to their own understanding of it. So much so, if somebody claps their hand in church, oh, they're out of order. If you preach over 45 minutes, you're out of order. I don't preach long. I used to, maybe years ago when I first come here, but I've kind of grown. And I realize, as one minister used to say, the mind can only contain what the seat can endure. And I, over the years, I learned that there might be one thing that I say that somebody will take out of that service. Only one thing they got out of the whole thing. And I've had people come to me to talk to me in the back room and me just get finished preaching on something and them come back here to ask me questions that was answered in the service. I remember one time in particular, and this has been years ago, and people don't even come here anymore, but Brother Phil was sitting back there with me, and Brother Phil said, he just preached on that. Hallelujah. Brother Branham says, how it doesn't matter how real it looks, if the light doesn't flash off the Urim Thummim, it's wrong. No matter how much experience you've had, how real it seems to be, how presenting it is, how educational it is, what a great tool it is to win souls. Woo. If it doesn't flash in the word, it's wrong. Now, Solomon was the one that said, lean not to your own understanding. Now, why would Solomon say that? Solomon was saying that to his sons. Why would Solomon say that? It wasn't that he thought his sons should be ignorant. But, you know, people will lean to their education. Like somebody said to me, well, if somebody is a narcissist, they don't ever get better from that. They don't ever get better. There is no amount of counseling, no amount of psychiatry, or anything else that's ever going to make that person better. But God can deliver them. God can deliver them because all that is a spirit. And God can cast them spirits out. So I don't care what their education says. I don't care what the psychiatry book says. I know what the Bible says. The Bible says they took cloths off the body of Paul And when they placed them on somebody who was possessed with devils, that the devils left them. Now that was just pieces of cloth took off the body of a preacher. Hallelujah. I've had people ask me, I remember one time I preached in a place, and you know, when I was a lot younger, I used to be a little more active preaching. Maybe y'all can remember. And boy, I would sweat. And I'd take a handkerchief and constantly be wiping the sweat off my brow. And I had a man come to me, his grandson was sick, had some kind of sickness. And he wanted a handkerchief. He brought a handkerchief with him back there. And I misunderstood him. I thought he wanted me to pray over. He said, no. He said, I want to trade you. He said, I'll give you this one. You give me the one you preached with. He said, I want to go put that one on my grandson.
Oh, wow.
I've seen people, things happen because a prayer cloth was pinned under their pillow or pinned to their shirt or laid upon them. That's the word. That's according to the word. And because that's according to the word, something's going to happen. All you've got to do is have faith. And it says we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's the word. It said we could cast out devils.
Amen.
That's the word.
Amen.
Well, you know, you've just got this condition. You're going to have to live with it. That's not according to the word. According to the word, I am the Lord thy God that healeth all, A-double-L, all thy diseases. I realize when it comes our time to go, something's got to take us out of this body. But until that comes, God can heal you. Hallelujah. I believe that. I used to have trouble, real bad trouble with allergies. From the time I was just a young boy, I was going to get allergy shots every year, about every week, especially during the allergy seasons. I didn't even know what the shots were or what they were for or anything about them. I just know they'd give me a shot under the skin. It would swell up like the size of a quarter. And then, you know, a day or two, it'd go down. And, you know, and I was taking... Somebody said, take alfalfa tablets, you know, and that'll help you over your hay fever and all this other stuff. Boy, I had real bad struggle with it. Even after I got married, even after I had children. And one time I was listening to a sermon Brother Branham preached, and on there he called out somebody who had allergies. And he said, God's healed you.
That's right.
And it hit me, and I thought, well, now, I went and got prayed for this thing and that thing, and I've seen people healed from cancer. I've seen people carried in on a stretcher before and prayed for, and God raised them up when they couldn't even walk and them run around the church. And I've seen all this and believe it. Why did I never think to believe that God could take these allergies from me? I went and got tested for allergies one time. You know what they told me? I'm not allergic to cockroaches. You can't believe, imagine how happy that made me. Everything else I was allergic to, they said, you need to move to Alaska. But I'll tell you what, friends, I'll have a little bit of problems with my sinuses. But I don't have them problems with allergies anymore. I couldn't even get around mowed grass. Boy, I'd get around mowed grass and just quick as flash, boy, I'd be all stopped up. It was bad. But I don't have that no more. And I wasn't even prayed for. I just heard Brother Branham call somebody out and say, God's healed you of allergies. And I said, well, he can heal me of my allergies. Hallelujah. Don't lean to your own understanding. Amen. Let's stand. All right, Brother Todd, I told you before the service I wasn't sure, but I think this may be a part one. So we got some more studying to do. And so, amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for your word. We thank you this morning, dear God, for the simplicity of it. Lord, the prophet told us God hides himself in simplicity and reveals himself in the same. And Lord, that message has never been more real to me than it is now. Lord, how, Lord, through just little simple ways, you reveal yourself. Lord, I've had you reveal yourself to me, Lord, through just some of the ways, that things that kittens being born, puppies being born, and different things, Lord, just little things, God. Just simplicity. Lord, I've had, Lord, you speak to me through a child before when I was sitting around and didn't know. I was waiting for an inspiration, didn't know what I was going to preach, and I was waiting for inspiration, and a child just spoke and said something to me. And when it did, it just struck, and I said, well, we got more here. Lord, it's just little simple things. And Lord, that's how you, Lord, through the prophet's ministry, Lord, he wasn't some great big educated individual. Lord, he barely had a schooling at all. But Lord, you would speak through simple things of nature and that to give us examples and to give us, and you did it in the Bible, Lord. That's according to the Bible. David says, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. Lord Jesus, you're just, it's not so complicated about receiving the Holy Ghost. Lord, we accept you, Lord, and as a finished work in our life. And then when you, Lord, accept our faith, then you give us the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said we'd repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. It's just that simple. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you, God, will go with the people today. Help them, dear God, strengthen them. I know, Lord, tomorrow's Monday. It's the first day of the facing the devil each week. Lord, I pray you'll go with them, Lord, and keep them strong, Lord. Strengthen them, dear God. Lord, I pray you'll bring us back here at the appointed time, Lord, to hear your word. I pray for Brother Anthony today, Lord. You'll be with him, strengthening this week, dear God, and get him ready, Lord, to be baptized, Lord. We ask it, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. God bless you.